Welcome to Not From Here, a podcast dedicated to past versions of ourselves.
And the current versions of all of you. We are your co-hosts. I'm Riley Clauza.
And I am Issa Rodriguez. And we are just a couple of Michiganders turned New Yorkers trying to get a grip.
Have you ever been made fun of for the way you say things or thought, damn, I never even realized I had an accent?
Well, we have too, because we're definitely
not from here.
One, two.
Us.
Who is it?
My name's Bella. Bella Torres, that's me. And I'm here on Not From Here. I'm so excited.
Yay!
Hey, Bella Torres.
Hey, girl.
Okay, how do we know you? Like, tell us how you got here. Riley, Bella, tell us.
Riley and I have a long past.
A history.
You could say. We have a long history.
Herstory.
We have a herstory, her and her. Gosh, I think we met when I was
a sophomore in high school.
So I was probably like 13.
Yeah.
God, that is so long ago. We met like through Elisa.
Yeah. So we had the same voice coach.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you were in middle school still, right?
Yeah, I think I was in eighth grade.
And I was a sophomore. We're 2 years apart. But you're like barely though, because her birthday is like tomorrow.
My birthday's tomorrow.
I know.
I did not know that. Wow.
You'll be bad. 23 tomorrow. So like, there's a brief like 6 months where we're like only like a year apart, but then it doesn't feel like it though. No,
like,
it doesn't. I'm like, we're the same age.
No.
Anyway. Long story short, we had the same voice coach, and so we he's just like, tell me.
Okay. I missed something, clearly.
It's just so much. It's just like a long history. Basically, I met Riley for the first time. We were on the way to a voice competition.
It was like nationals.
It was nationals, okay? Is that the same?
And like, I'd always like known of Bella, but like, we hadn't really like ever spent time together.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we always were going in and out of the same voice lessons.
Yeah, like it would just be like in passing, you know?
So the first time we ever like sat down together, we were going to nationals and our voice coach Elisa was driving us, and it was late at night, and we had just the most interesting experience, and all I can say is that we ended up at a Waffle House at 2 a.m. with me and my little sister, and there is a horrific picture of
us. No, there's a picture.
There's a picture of us the first day we actually hung out, and ever since then, it was just,
yeah,
like,
we, like, clicked.
Inseparable.
And I just, like, remember at Nationals, because we were, like, with our parents and our siblings, I would, like, be like, do you want to, like, walk around the hotel with
me?
Like, because I was like, I just want to hang out with this girl.
It's always the walk around the hotel.
Yeah.
It is.
There was nothing else to do.
We were in Cincinnati, Ohio. There was nothing else to do.
Okay. Off script for a second. Would you guys ever, like, walk around the hotel and, like, if there was, like, a card out with some, like, little shampoo or conditioner?
Oh, steal? Of course.
Would you just, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there.
That's what it's for me.
It's for me.
My dad has, like, a full, like, Ziploc bag of just, like...
No, yeah, that's
little,
so real.
...little things he's just, like, taken over time.
Okay, let me... Maybe Issa can relate to me. My Latina grandma, okay? You know where this is going. I'm not kidding. Everywhere we go, she is taking something. Like, at a restaurant, she's taking all the Splenda packets. She's taking all the cream. We go, like, at every single family party, there's always the decorations, you know? Someone makes a decoration. She has a decoration from every single major family event that we have. My quinceañera, she has the original centerpiece from it in her house. Her house is just, like, a collection of knickknacks, and it's just things from my childhood, my past. And sometimes when we're going out to restaurants, she just pulls out this bag of random condiments she's gathered. She's like a hunter-gatherer, and she just puts them in a bag and carries them around with her.
I was going to say, it's the bag of condiments.
It is.
It is the way they've always got, like, one big Ziploc bag. And there's mayo, mustard, ketchup. You're like, these are from 5 different fast food restaurants.
Yeah, like,
why do we need these?
Yes.
She's like,
You never know. It's always, she always has a hot sauce. She always has, like, I'm not kidding. That's not just to my grandma. Like, my family, they always carry little tiny hot sauce packets. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Ready to go at all times.
It always needs a little extra something.
It does.
But yeah, long story short, we became friends that fateful summer in Cincinnati. And then you came to high school, right? Well, okay. Random plot point that we need to go back on. Oh, we did Les Mis my freshman year of high school. Eponine.
Wait, I forgot about this.
Who was
Sorry. You were Eponine your freshman year of high school?
I was. I popped off.
Come on. Yeah. Look at her. Booked and blessed.
Anyway.
Well, damn.
Woo! Drama. But anyway.
I can imagine.
Drama. But so there was like the young Cosettes, but they would like take turns being the young Eponine. Tell me why at one point, like we were the same.
We were supposed to be the same person.
But that kind of set the foundation for like.
You were young Eponine.
And I was, yeah.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. No, you don't
we
look it, the right? same?
What would it, we said I was, you after childhood, I was locked in a closet for a very long time and then turned into Riley.
So fucked.
But no, that's and so that kind of like set the foundation for us because then. Like every show in high school, we were like double cast or we were like
every single one.
Cast together. Like it was just like always, like we always were like connected in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
You guys, that's cute.
It's like a sister bond.
I know.
Okay, so after your high school days and this fateful summer, when did you decide that you wanted to pursue this and where did that take you? Where did you go to college? And how was that?
I never in a million years, if you asked me as a kid what I wanted to do, I would have never said music or acting. I would have said sports or fashion or health. That was what I wanted to do.
It's giving your mom.
It was giving my mom. I am a mama's girl, and I wanted to be just like her. And after I discovered theater, I kind of did it on a whim, actually. I never was
Yeah, how did you into get into it?
Basically, all my friends did choir, and I wanted to be hanging out with my friends. And they're like, oh, we're going to audition for a choir, the Singing Falcons. And I was like,
not the Singing Falcons.
Thank you for including that.
Yes. Yes. It's crucial. It's a very crucial plot point because that was also drama. But, yeah, I wanted to do the audition. It wasn't really an audition. It was like, you come and sing. And they're like, yes, you can be in it. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I did it. And we were all in choir. And it was the best time. And we got a call from the high school. They're like, oh, they're casting for the high school musical. We need young children to be in it.
Was this
and
Les Mis?
This is Les Mis.
It's all coming together.
And there is like one featured young girl role. And I was like, okay, like, let me just audition. It was a general audition call. And then I guess they just picked from the girls that wanted to be included in
the
movie.
No, but it was so funny because for young Cosette, it was like two like little kids and then this girl, shout out Paige Fry,
Paige.
Who just like looked really young, who was like a freshman in high school.
Yeah. And
I love that.
It was great. And that's how I started. I was like, oh, I got a lead role. That's pretty cool. And from then on out, I was just, the second after Les Mis was over, I was like, yeah, this is really fun. And I kind of just did it as a hobby. And going into high school, I was just in every single musical, and I really, really loved it. And I kind of changed courses from doing, I want to do sports, I want to do fashion, I want to do this. I was like, I could probably make a career out of this. I think it's fun, and I really enjoyed doing it. But I wasn't sure music was the track for me that I wanted to do. I had always done modeling and screen acting as a kid. And that's really what I wanted to do. But I was like, you know what? Let me open my variety. Let me have a wide range of things I can do. And I went to school for musical theater. So I wanted to be versatile in a lot of different things. I wanted to have experience. So I did the singing, acting, dancing, the whole nine yards. I went to Kent State in Cleveland. Shout out Golden Flashes.
You're like, what's the mascot?
It is Golden Flashes, but I couldn't really. It's like a bird.
Oh,
it's a bird. It looks like a
from Falcons to Flashes.
Literally.
That should have been an Instagram caption.
I missed an opportunity, and I feel like I'm coming up a year off of graduation, and I feel like it's a little too late to just bring back my college.
You're
days.
Like TBT.
If you ever catch me doing a Throwback Thursday, please call me immediately. What's wrong? What is in college exactly? What's wrong? Please tell me what's wrong. I probably do. I'm reminiscing. I'm going through a dark period. I just need to think about the happy times. But yeah, musical theater in Kent, Ohio, very little tiny teeny town, college town, very different from where we grew up.
Oh yeah.
Which is a whole other thing. I feel like we grew up in such a bubble, if that makes sense. I don't know if you felt that way, but I definitely felt that way. And then going into college, it was just a change of pace for me. Absolutely. College really was very freeing.
Speaking of college, did we love it? Did we hate it? Mixed feelings. What are we feeling?
It was a growing period for me for sure. At first, I was like, I love college. I love being away from home. I love making new friends. And then the pandemic happened.
Oh my God, because you were a freshman, right? Mm-hmm.
So I moved back home and I was like, I hate college. I hate it here. I don't want to go back. I want to stay home. I don't want to go to Ken anymore. I don't want to do musical theater. It was a whole thing where I just did not feel comfortable with who I was as a person, I think, at that time. And I wasn't sure of exactly what I wanted to do. And then staying home, I think, kind of helped me get back into the groove of things. And then the next year I met my now roommate and we've lived together ever since. And it was just the best experience. There's highs and lows, of course, through college. Yeah. But that really just put me back on the map. I was like, I know what I want to do. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I grew up. I really did grow up. I've seen the most change in myself through college and being away from home and learning how to be a full-grown adult, which is also scary.
Yeah.
Why are we adults? And no, I don't want to think about it.
A child.
I always say I'm 19 at heart, but I am turning 23. And my mom the other day, she was like, you're a full-grown adult. She was like, you don't need my opinion anymore. I'm like, when did I become a full-grown adult, ma'am?
Like, who said that?
I am a baby. I'm a baby, and who said that? But yeah, college was – I loved college. Towards the end of it, it was – A little iffy for me. By the end, I was ready. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do after college. I was very unsure of a lot of things. I think the one thing I was sure of was what I wanted to pursue as a career.
Yeah.
Where I wanted to be based, I wasn't very sure.
Yeah.
And it kind of all just fell into place for me. The last 6 months of college, I went through a lot of life changes, and it made me realize that a lot of things were not the way I wanted them to be. Mm-hmm. And having to navigate that myself, I really learned a lot of things about myself that I would have never known if I didn't go through a lot of these big life changes.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So how did you get to New York? You said you weren't sure at first where you wanted to go.
No, I wasn't sure.
I remember this journey. I was like, move to New York, please.
Yeah, Riley in my ear was like, New York, New York, New York. I was not sure what I wanted to do. Throughout the end of college, I really started liking TV and film. That's what I started doing, was more screen acting. And I love music. Don't get me wrong. I love musical theater. But I see myself doing straight acting, TV, film, movies. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if I was going to find a good career for TV and film in New York. Mm-hmm. So I was exploring the idea of Atlanta, LA, Texas. I was looking all over the place. I wasn't exactly sure where I wanted to go, mostly because if I didn't move to New York, I would be starting fresh all over again. No one wants to move to Atlanta or LA or anywhere else if a lot of my friends are doing musical theater, so New York is the place to be. And during my senior showcase, which was here in New York, I signed with an agent, and he was based here in New York, and I am so happy that I'm here. I've always loved New York. I wasn't sure I can handle it being here, coming from the Midwest.
Oh.
I feel like we grew up in kind of a city environment, kind of not. It was half and half, so I knew that I wanted to be in a city, not exactly sure where, and then moving here just kind of solidified it, that this is where I wanted to be for the time being.
Totally.
But I definitely can see myself moving to different places. But right now, New York is the place to be. New York or nowhere, baby.
Yeah. You've been here, when did you move here? End of summer?
No, the fall. Okay. I think.
I'm like, has it been?
End of
like,
September, October.
Yeah, so like six-ish months?
Yeah, 6 months.
How's it been treating you?
It's been great. The first few months, took some adjusting for sure.
Of 100%. Course.
Now I feel like I can navigate myself. Don't ask me where I'm going, because if you're telling me there's this cute little shop on Broadway in 96. Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Just show us
how
to
get there. Yeah.
I don't know how to get there. I was like, you need to give me the address. That was a big navigation thing for me. I need to learn more of the details of New York. Yeah. But no, I love it. You know, you see your occasional crazy people. you see things. It changes you mm-hmm. as a person, and I have become much more aware of that.
Oh, yeah, and you know what they say. The first year is the worst, and I feel like you've been – You've had a good
popping
year.
Off. I've yeah, had a really been, good first 6 months off. In New York City. I will not lie. Again, highs and lows, baby.
Always,
like,
yeah.
I did see some. I don't know if I can say this. I did see someone die on my street. Literally dead body.
Like you saw the body.
We literally were this close. Me and Issa Range. maybe a foot, and we walked past this dead body, and we were like, oh, maybe it's just a homeless person sleeping. It was not. It, in fact, was not. It was a dead body. And we came back. So we're from a night out. We saw this person, like, kind of just laying there on the street right in front of the subway. We have the occasional homeless person, so like, okay, yeah. they're just sleeping, whatever. Yeah. We go into the deli, grab our snacks, and they are loading this body into an ambulance and driving away. And I was scarred. I'd never seen anything like that.
Oh, my God.
That was a month ago. So I feel like that was the most crazy thing I've seen so far. Hopefully never.
And you're like,
again.
We're only 6 months in.
This is 6 months in. Since then, I hadn't really noticed anything super crazy. I did get my package stolen, my birthday dress.
No.
Yes. And they have it on video footage. And it was.
Who took it? Someone in your building?
No. I thought it was someone in my building. Yeah. It was a homeless person from off the street.
Was it a man?
It was a woman. It was a woman.
She fucking knew what was.
You're going to see her walking around in it.
I know. And the
You're
day that I see
it off
her.
Her body.
I could never. I say I would. But in that moment, I'd just be like, just you know what? It. It's You're on like, your body. It is yours. But I was so sad. What are they called? The supers.
Oh, yeah.
The super. He had video footage of her taking it and then just leaving. I was
How'd
so devastated.
Know? Where was it from?
It was from Jaded London.
Like, did it say it, like, all over the package?
Yeah, it did. I don't know if that's, like, a widely known brand.
No, I was going to say, don't know it.
But tell me why there was five other packages and she just took mine. Like, I'm still pissed about this. This happened at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And now I don't have...
She knew. I don't know how...
Did you get a new dress?
I did get a new dress.
But still, it hurts.
But still, it hurts. And I was going to order another one. I was like, I can't even put it on feeling the same anymore. I just know
that. You're like, what if I go out?
What if I go out and she's wearing the same one? We're both in the subway station wearing the same dress. I would be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed. I'd be like, you know what?
Even if you gave her that dress.
You know what? And at that moment that I realized my package was stolen, I was like, okay, if it's another girl my age that just took it, you know what? Have it. I'm happy for you, and I know it's going to look amazing on you. It's the fact that I don't even know if she's going to wear it. I don't even know if she's going to wear it.
She might just get rid of it.
What are you doing? Where are you going with this?
Oh, my God. It's like she's sleeping on it.
And like a pillow.
Stop.
Like a pillow. It wasn't a cheap dress. Damn. So that was really devastating.
Welcome to New York.
It's been so true.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. So this transition, there's been highs, there's been lows.
There has.
Do you have any, like, survival job stories, New York horror stories? Well, we just got a New York horror story. But, like, anything else that you want to throw in?
Yeah. I've worked a couple survival jobs, and I started doing retail.
She's pissed.
Wow, fun.
It was so fun. I loved it. Yeah. I did retail all throughout college, and then in New York, I was like, let me just do retail again. I have retail experience. Mm-hmm. Wrong decision.
Wrong
decision immediately.
Yeah.
I worked at a nice little shoe store called Steve Madden in Soho for a couple months, and I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was like a survival job, you know?
Yeah,
you're just
of course.
Doing it to make the money. I liked fashion. It worked. And then I... worked in nightlife as well, so I was working two jobs, which was exhausting.
Yeah,
but you got to do what it takes to survive in New York City. I had to make that money.
Survival job.
Exactly. So I was working nightlife late nights till like 4 a.m., and then going to retail the next day, which sucked.
When did you sleep?
Barely ever. Some days I would have off and I would just sleep throughout the day, but then I felt really unproductive and not very, you know, I get icky.
Yeah. Even though you like fully need sleep, like
fully
you're
need sleep.
Like,
I slept through the whole day and now I just have to go to work again. Yeah, it was just so the same thing over and over again. So then I took a office job. Now I'm working at an office during the day. It's amazing. And I love it. A medical office is a whole new thing to navigate for me, but it I feel like it keeps me in check. It keeps me organized. It keeps me on a routine.
And is
I
it like that. A 9 to 5?
It's a 9 to 5, 9 to 7. There's sometimes late night hours.
At least normal hours.
Normal hours. But I am still working in nightlife.
Oh, of course.
I like to have that little extra thing to keep me going and in a routine. Mm-hmm. Other than that, my survival job, you know what? I don't know if I should say this, but I never like officially quit Steve Madden.
Oh.
And I don't think I was officially fired. I could still be employed there.
You're just
fully.
Like on a leave of absence type.
So I told them, I was like, oh, I'm starting a new day job. Like, I'm starting another job. I'm gonna take mm-hmm. a second job. At that point, it was a third job. They did not know that. And I was like, I need some time off. I need like 3 weeks off so I can train and get back into it. And then when it was time for me, I was like, okay, maybe I should pick up a couple shifts. I was removed from the group chat. No one ever told me that I was fired. So I'm still saying I was never fired from a job. I have never been fired from a job.
You're like, I mean, you still can't say that. And never have I ever.
I still can say that. I left gracefully and quietly.
You are like, where's my letter of termination?
You know what? And that's okay.
It was the removal from the group chat. That's your letter.
I did take a screenshot of that. And I sent it to my mom. I was like, was I fired? Question mark. She was like, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
And at that point, I was like,
they're like, we're just not going to let you work anymore.
Yeah, I just didn't want to work there anymore. I said I was just doing it to make some extra money.
Yeah.
So I just accepted it. I accepted it and moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my only crazy survival job story. I do have a crazy audition story. I don't know if I've told you this yet.
Oh, I want to hear.
I found this audition through Backstage, okay? And it was for a featured film.
Okay.
I don't know if I should go into detail about but just was.
A featured film.
It was a featured film. This director had had a couple films in Sundance, and I was like, okay, this is something that I really want to do.
Yeah.
And I get the address. It's in Williamsburg, and it's just like a street address. And I didn't know what to expect, so I show up, and it looks like I'm in a set for where all the true crime settings happen. It looks like I'm going to walk into an alley and get attacked. I was like, where am I?
Great.
And I'm just walking down the street, and I come to the address, and it's just like a warehouse building. And I feared for my life immediately. I look on the door, and it just says, it's a piece of paper with Sharpie that says the street address.
Oh.
So I open the door, and immediately I'm greeted by this long staircase. It's dark, and there's one light at the top of the staircase.
Course.
And on this wall is just an arrow. It's a Sharpie with an arrow, and it says auditions. And no. I was like, do I walk up this staircase for Sundance? Do I really take this?
You place? Did. Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Of course I did. I walked
even for
the staircase,
just the plot. Like, just,
and exactly. It's all for the plot. I had nothing to lose besides my life at that point.
besides my life.
So I had nothing to
I'm
lose.
I'm already there.
I'm already there. I had nothing to lose. So it's just a long staircase and another long staircase and then a door that, again, just says auditions. And it's all in Sharpie. The company name, it's just like walls of Sharpie and paper.
They don't have a printer.
They don't have a printer. It just looks sketchy, and the stairs are creaking. Imagine Horror Story. That's
course,
what it was.
Of course,
so I open the door to this audition, and it's a kitchen. It is someone's kitchen, and I'm in someone's house. And there's multiple people at this audition. I immediately feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But tell me why everyone's sitting in this tiny kitchen. I'm sitting in front of me is a door that opens up. It is a bidet. It is a bathroom. It reeks. Next to me is a fridge. I'm sitting next to the fridge, and there's a bunch of people just sitting in this tiny kitchen, and they're just calling people in person by person.
Into where?
At this point, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. There is a whole separate room, another door, and it's like, I don't know what is past this door.
Yeah.
So I get called in, and it's like a studio, I guess. It's not like the best looking studio. It's freezing cold, and the director is sitting there, and he tells me that maybe I shouldn't give this detail because it'll be a little too okay. I'll say it.
You'll
and
know.
it used to be a Mexican food factory.
Okay.
So it's cold. It's freezing in there. And I do my little thing. I sing, I do my monologue, and I leave. And then 2 hours later, I get a notification that I have a callback and I have to go back.
Thank God.
Thank God I got the callback. And I did return. You know what? I did return. And the callback was also interesting in this Mexican food factory, but I will never forget the audition in New York City.
Yeah, they couldn't rent a normal studio.
They couldn't. I guess it was based out of the director's home.
Oh.
So it was his personal bathroom. I was sitting in front of his bedroom in his kitchen. And it smelled. It really smelled. And it was one of the most interesting auditions and callbacks in my life. The callback was 4 hours. I was there for 4 hours.
What?
Yep. I was there for 4 hours. But honestly, I'm glad I did it. I have the story for the plot. Yeah, I met a bunch of cool people at the audition and callback, and we got to do like this collaborative callback. It was a really cool experience, but I did fear for my life. And I debated sitting in that kitchen at the initial audition. I said, do I just turn around and leave now? I don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And even at the callback, I wasn't sure if I was going to go back, but I needed a little creative movement. I felt like I was at a stall. It's like, let me just go through with this and see what happens. And I did book the role. I did book the job. But unfortunately, yes.
Sorry,
I booked it. It was not for what I was expecting. It wasn't for like a feature film. He was trying to do some live performance. So I decided that it wasn't for me at the time. But I am glad I did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the craziest audition story ever. I've been auditioning for a while now. Mm-hmm. And that one just stood out. And I found that one through Backstage myself. It wasn't booked through my agent.
So
just be careful. If you're on Backstage,
you never know.
You could end up in someone's kitchen.
Backstage is kind of wild.
You know what? Let me say this. Backstage is totally worth it. Pay the yearly subscription. Every single job that I've booked this month with big brands and good paying jobs is all through Backstage.
Damn.
Everything.
I never check Backstage. Awful.
You need to look.
I have Backstage and then I stopped renewing my...
Apply for everything. You never know because the biggest brands that I've worked with, they're all under... random names. It's like skincare company or hair care company or major fashion brand. And then you book the job and it's these giant brands that pay you so well. I just apply to everything. Casting networks, Actors Access, everything. I apply to everything.
Yeah.
Slay. Okay. The question we've been waiting for. Bella, what makes you not from here?
I've been thinking about this question. I knew it was coming. I don't know. I think... The one thing that I think does make me not from here is that I crave to drive a car.
Oh, great answer.
I crave to drive a car. The second I go home, all I do is get in my parents' car and drive around for hours because I just miss being in my own little bubble and having my own music and driving and being in control.
Totally.
Totally being in control. You know what? I think also I still do get trapped in tourist things. literally on the way here. So I was walking down Canal and right off of Broadway. And the second you glance into those stores, they're like, come inside. I'm like, okay. And I just go inside and I ended up spending $30 on things I don't need.
What did you get?
I got some hats and a jewelry and just really things I didn't need.
It's
and
like
I
the fell mommy's little meatball shirt.
And you know who has that? My roommate has that shirt.
I got daddy's little meatball.
Yes, I got daddy's and I got a hat. And at that moment, I realized I still don't feel like I am from here because any normal New Yorker would be like, just ignoring and walk past. And she was like, come inside. And I said, whatever you say, I will do.
Music to my ears.
Shopping, count me in.
Okay, so Bella is a quadruple threat.
Quad.
She is a singer. She's an actor. She's a dancer. She's a model. Tell us about it. We want to hear all about your model stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I started doing commercial print and commercials as a kid through an agency based in Detroit. And one day they were just looking for little Latino girls to be in a family, a fake family. And my mom's friend had worked in the agency and he said, can you bring your girls to do this shoot last minute? And I got a day off of school. They fed me and I got to keep the clothes. They gave me the wardrobe. And I said, this is the best thing ever. Let me keep doing this. And it just never stopped. I started doing that and I worked my way into film, like actual commercials, and modeling, runway, and I absolutely love it. That's what I find majority of my work doing is commercials and modeling.
I mean, you're gorgeous. Like, of course, look at you. Literally look at her.
It takes a village to make someone look like this. but thank you. Yeah, and I absolutely love it. I think that's what I find the most success in, and that's kind of why I want to do more TV and film. I feel like I have a place there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been doing that for a very long time. And in New York, that's what I do majority of. And that's what I love. I meet so many cool people. And I have a print agent, but a lot of the work I find is, again, through backstage, just by myself. I just apply to everything. And it's very hard managing all of these jobs that I'm booking. This past month has been crazy for me. And I'm so, so grateful that I'm even in the position that I am. But it's very, very hard to find the time to, one, focus on myself, but two, keep focusing on my career. Mm-hmm. But I worked with a lot of cool brands, and I am obsessed with pretty much every single shoot that I do. I end up loving some shoots. I'm just there because it's for the money and it's smaller productions. But the bigger brands that I've worked with, I really, really love. And I'm so excited for everyone to see some of the stuff I've been working on.
Do you have any gigs you can talk about? Because I know the legal stuff. If not, totally okay.
I'm trying to think. I work pretty much consistently twice a year for the past 3 years for Carhartt, doing some fit, like modeling for them for some of their shows that they do. And I love that job. Everyone there is so nice, and they're based in Detroit.
Oh my God.
So I get to go home. It works out for me, and I love it. Everyone there is amazing. I have two bigger campaigns coming up very soon. I'm so excited. If you follow me on Instagram, you've probably seen a couple of the things I'm doing. Those are the ones.
Yeah, I was like, your stories are insane.
Yeah, so I'm just worked for Glow Recipe, and I am so excited. I'm so grateful. Hopefully, that'll be coming out in the next year or two. I just worked for Kiss Cosmetics, like the nails and the lashes. That one turned out amazing. Products I can't talk about, but
yeah, of course.
I'm so excited for when they
launch. I mean, just those names. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are some of like my favorites so far. I worked for Ford Motor Company for a while doing their commercials.
Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
Those ones are also really fun, but all the small jobs in and out here and there are always really fun too.
Yeah. That is so amazing.
You are amazing.
Thank you.
Quickly, tell us a little bit about what, I don't know, anything you might want to share about your experience as a Latina woman in this industry. I mean,
I feel like you can relate to me.
Yeah.
A lot of the things, so I'm Mexican American. I'm half Mexican, half white. My mom's kind of mixed with a couple different things. And I've struggled with my identity for so long. As a kid, I really identified more with my Latina background. That's what I grew up knowing. I didn't really know anything different. And then going into high school was just a whole different thing. I went to private Catholic school pretty much for 12 years. And I stuck out like a sore thumb. I was one of not many Latina women in the school. So I found myself trying to fit in with other people and hide that part of myself because that was not the majority of what I was surrounded by.
Yeah.
That really took a toll on me, I think, because it made me hide a lot of the interest that I did have truly coming from my background. Like some of the music I liked, or really the fashion that I was into, or the food I liked to eat. And then going into college, I found myself doing the same thing. And then I grew up and I just realized that I wasn't being my true authentic self, and I was very unhappy. And I think in the industry, there's a lot of stereotypes about Latina women. I feel like you can understand you're either the sexy flaunty Latina, you're the maid, the drug dealer, you know, it's a very stereotypical type of role that they want you to play. And I don't feel like that's who I am as a person. There's so many thoughts running through my head. When you're in the industry, I feel like they want the stereotypical Sofia Vergara. They want you to, you've gone to an audition. They're like, can you do it with an accent, but more? I'm like, that's not who I am. And I feel like there's a wide variety of what a Latina woman can look like looking at me and you side by side.
Yeah.
It's very, very different. And I found myself feeling uncomfortable with trying to be put into that box. And it stopped me. It held me back from going back, auditioning for the roles that I really wanted, like Belle or Sophie from Mamma Mia. Mm-hmm. Like those, and when I did audition, I didn't get those roles because I didn't look the part.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I struggled. I'm white passing. I don't necessarily look like I'm fully white, but I also don't necessarily look like I'm fully a Latina woman, even though that's kind of what more I was raised in my background. So it's really been hard to navigate that. And I think college really opened me up to the idea of I need to stay true to my authentic self and show up to an audition with who I really am. Mm-hmm. And the statistics in the industry are crazy, and specifically the film and TV industry. I think one of the statistics I've seen, it was Hispanics and Latina people take 20% of the population in the U.S., and I think it was like 5% of those people work in TV and film overall. And from that 5%, I think it was 2% are always categorized in negative roles. Mm-hmm. And it affects how people see us 100%. As human beings. I mean, look at politics now. It's always brought back to not being from here, yeah. crazy enough. But I feel like that really puts people in a box. And I really want to change that narrative, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I didn't see many Latina artists growing up, and I feel like now it is so mainstream, and I love it so much. I mean, and there's such a variety. Look at Anya Taylor-Joy. Like, no one knew that she speaks Spanish. That is crazy. And the same thing with Barbie Ferreira. America Ferreira, excuse me. Same thing with America Ferreira. I knew her from Real Women Have Curves, and now she's this mega star that everyone knows from the Barbie movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just been one of the best things to see, and I am so incredibly excited to see what's happening next.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just all about change. I'm really ready to put myself back into the industry and go for it full force. And
yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, all that you can do, all that I can do, and all that anybody that struggles with identity the way that I feel like Latino people do, is just be yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally all we've got. I completely understand everything that you're saying in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like, unfortunately, like, I do have privilege because I am, like, a white person.
Exactly.
You know? And so I have booked roles that I got because I look like a white girl.
Agreed.
And
same.
I am, you know? And so there's that juxtaposition of being one thing, looking like another thing, feeling like one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how many times I drive myself into these holes and these loops of what I am and what people consider me and whether or not I'm truly a Latina, like, at the end of the day, all I can do is, like, be myself.
Exactly. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
That was just so amazing. Yeah. I am so happy you joined us. Thank you so much for having me. My little childhood bestie turned New Yorker. And
Soul Sisters.
Soul Sisters for life. Just so happy to have you here. Bella, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Bella Alicia, A-L-Y-S-I-A. Everything is linked there. That's my main social media platform.
Perfect.
Amazing. Thank you so much to Noah Wisniewski for all of your work.
Thank you, Noah. She knows Noah.
Hi, baby.
She does. She knows him, too.
We all went to high school together.
Yes, we did. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel. That is still just not from here. Make sure you scroll until you see Riley and I pop up.
So true.
Yes, I did that. I did the digging.
Next week, we're so excited. We are going to be talking with Broadway's very own Lily Krenn from Who's Tommy. We are so, so, so thrilled to bring you that episode. So stay tuned for that.
If you want to keep up with us on social media, our @ is @ notfromhere.podcast. That is notfromhere.podcast. And as always, I'm Riley Clauza.
I'm Issa Rodriguez.
I'm Bella Torres.
And we are definitely
not from here.
Bye. Bye, guys. Thanks.